have the honor and privilege and the joy to fill in for Glenn. I'm just here to worship with y'all. I'm just here to share some words and some scripture. So take a deep breath. Let all the distractions go away. You got me for about 10 or 12 minutes, and that's it. Even let the distractions of me and how I talk. And if somebody needs to translate the words I use, somebody do that. But I want to share something with you from the scripture. Monty, can you put the scripture back up that we were talking about? Matthew 24 is where I'm reading from, if you want to look it up. Or there it is on the board there. And we're going to kind of break them down and just, have you ever thought of it like this? First of all, are you cold? Spiritually, are you cold? Well, that's something I've personally had to fight with for years. And just only by renewing my mind with the mind of Christ can I truly be warm in this cold, cold world. But let's kind of take a look at what's happening here. Matthew 24:9, it says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. So I thought, okay, I better check into these words. I'm going to look up the definitions. Are you persecuted? You may not realize it, but you are. Why do you say that? Look here. Persecuted, subject to hostility and ill treatment because of their ethnicity, their religion, their sexual orientation, or their political beliefs. How am I persecuted? Ethnicity? I'm an old white guy. Religion? I'm a Christian. Isn't the world starting to persecute? Sexual orientation? I've been married to the same woman and slept with the same woman for 41 years. The world's like, what's wrong with you? Nothing wrong with me. We got a great thing going there. And then the political beliefs. Here's my political belief. God bless America. That's it. And I'm persecuted for that. And on top of all that, I'm from Mississippi. So guys, I don't have a chance in the world out there. Because what does it say? They put you to death. What's going on in the world today to be putting you to death? You don't agree with me. You don't like what I say. You don't agree. I'm going to cancel you. That's being put to death. And here we are trying to love on the world. Here we are trying to share with the world the joy that Jesus has given us. And they're like, nope, we're persecuting you and putting you to death. And you'll be hated by all nations. I get that. Because I'm a Christian, because I stand up for my beliefs as a Christian, the world out there is going to hate me. But then it starts hitting a little bit closer to home. Again, I'm talking about you, but I'm also talking about myself. Verse 10, at that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Each other, that means in this room? I mean, I know the world's going to hate me. I get that. But maybe if I can just interact with them a little bit, they can see the true Dan. But it says, in the end times, we will betray each other. Betrayal, that's a tough one. We've all been through it, whether it's a family member or somebody you work with. Betrayal, that's just pretty much getting stabbed in the back. And I wrote a few things down when I was studying on this. I've been stabbed in the back by those I needed the most. I've been lied to by those I love. And I have felt alone when I couldn't afford to be. Even in church families, sometimes we get caught up in that. Sometimes what we think is not necessarily true. We think somebody doesn't like us anymore. We think somebody's against us. We think somebody's just, oh, Dan, you need to get out of here. And when that comes into our thoughts, we feel betrayed. One of the hardest lessons in life is letting go. Whether guilt, anger, love, loss, or betrayal, change is never easy. You've gone through those. I mean, I could go around, well, I'm not, but I could go around every one of you go, well, I got to tell you about this time I was so hurt by someone that I loved so much. And then you got to go through, I hurt myself so much. I think the worst enemy I have to deal with is the one that looks at me in the mirror every morning. Dan has a tough time with Dan sometimes. I don't know why I think depressing thoughts. I don't know why I think what the world's telling me I need to think like. I need to stay away from that. I've been telling some of the others, believe your beliefs, doubt your doubts. That's a great way to live. Forgive yourself for the blindness that you put in the path of those who betrayed you. Sometimes a good heart doesn't see the bad in a person. Again, we could go down around the room, couldn't we? Tell me about the time you just loved on this person and then that was something bad happened. But here's what kind of bothered me. It says we're going to hate each other. That's a strong word. I hate you. Oh, we don't say that. That's not a Christian thing to say. But I looked up the definition of hate. Dislike. Negative emotions. Oh, when so-and-so's around me, I'm stomping my own toes, but I'm stomping yours too. Where does hate come from? Again, this was out of the dictionary. Hate usually comes from fear, anger, or a sense of injury. I dislike that person because they injured, they hurt my feelings. I dislike that person because something happened way back, and it's just, I'm still angry about it. God, you're helping me, but I'm still angry every time I see that person. And I've been in church all my life, and I've seen examples. Because I'm saying this happens within a church, and we've got to stand strong. We've got to fight all these things that are going to happen in the end times. And I'll tell you in a minute how we can fight that. Oh, I've seen a fellowship committee. They got something good going over there. They got a good food, good meal going. But in past churches, I've seen where they go. Somebody would go, you know that fellowship committee? I wrote it down. They made fun of my casserole. That's it. Laugh like you want to, but that person's out. No, on the outs and outs. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm hurt. I'm hating my fellow member. I'm going on. They always use so-and-so before me. I wanted to help, but they never call on me. They call on so-and-so. You see how it just turns into it? I could go on and on. Nursery. They treat my child different from everybody else's. Not that your child's over there biting and pulling teeth and all this kind of stuff, but they treat him different. The janitor, you ever heard this one first? I could do a better job than what they're doing. Oh, come on. Come on. That's kind of hateful, isn't it? Youth leaders, all they do is play games. Oh, my goodness. That's not what you do, is it? But you hear those kind of things. Dan, you're meddling. Dan, you're starting to get personal. No, I'm just getting started. Hang on with me. The preacher, he got us too long. He didn't visit me. My daddy never trusted a preacher, so I never will either. These are things that I have heard people say. And I'm like, where's the love in that? You know, you want me to keep going? My deacons, y'all like y'all run the church. What? I don't get this. There's just so many things that the scripture's saying, beware of. Verse 11, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. False prophets. There is so much out there in the name of religion that is not true. Again, just because somebody thinks it, that doesn't mean it's true. But it's out there. We don't want to chase those false prophets. The churches that are all about love, prosperity. Sounds good. That's good. Let's go to that kind of church. The churches that maybe twist. They'll have a scripture, but they kind of twist it. You've seen them. I hope and pray that it never, never happens here in this church. We're a God-fearing church. We're a scripture-reading church, and we follow God's word. But some people like to use the Bible and twist it, tickles their ears. There's a scripture about that. Why is all this going on? Verse 12, because of the increase of lawlessness. The love of most will grow cold. See, I'm saying the church is dealing with a little bit of dislike, a little bit of hatred, a little bit of negative emotions. Because the world out there, man, I mean, it's just pounding you. You might as well act like we do. I mean, I got where it's amusing now, but at times I'm going, why do I even look at Facebook? Because somebody will make a comment, and then you, oh, man, you've seen it. You like to read it. Sometimes you don't like to read it. You know, I gave an example one time. Colorado Birds. That's a wonderful website. Somebody said, what kind of bird is this? And then here you go, and you get 10 different answers. That's an oriole. No, that's a wren. No, that's something else. All of y'all wrong. I don't know why you don't listen to me. I've got a picture one. Then somebody says, I've got a cat. Why did they put that on there? I've got a cat. This is maybe they're trying to change the the feel. I don't know. I don't get it. People are like that because people are people. People are tough to deal with. And you're a people. I'm a people. Oh my goodness, how are we going to solve this? I'll tell you in just a minute. But their love, your love will grow cold. Dan's love grows cold. I got sick of religion. I got tired of people going through the motions and worrying about the casserole dish. I've had a lot of bad experiences with casserole dishes. I got to tell you, there's just something going on there. But people, even in a church, will grow cold. You've got to keep coming back to Jesus because of lawlessness. What is lawlessness? Basically boils down to, I have no respect for authority. And that will caused me to grow cold. Let me give you an example. I'm going to keep my notes here. That's warm water. But it could grow cold in a minute. So I promise you something. I'm going to tell you when I feel cold. Okay? Let me turn this around. Things of the world. There we go. Just a few things of the world. Cause you to grow cold. Right here in this church, you could grow cold. Respect for authority. I don't think Sheriff Rich is here, but I'll tell off on one of his deputies. I got pulled over the other day. I did tell you, didn't I, Stace? I got pulled over. I mean, I'm going down the road from Lake Dewey's coming into town. I got the windows down in the truck. I got the music going. I'm just having a great time, and all of a sudden, so I pull over. And it's happened to you, hadn't it? He pulls over and pulls me over and says, you know why I pulled you over, don't you? Well, I can think of six things that I've done wrong, but I'm like, I've gone too fast. I've got the radio. I'm swerving because I'm looking around. And that red light, I mean, the stop sign, I just kind of slowly went through it. So I said, no, sir, I don't have a clue what I've done wrong. He said, you don't have a tag. I said, I do have a tag. My wife put it on there the other day because we bought our car from her sister. So I said, Officer, watch this. And I get on the phone and I call Stacey. I said, Stacey, do we have a car tag on our car? And she's like, well, yeah, we got a car tag. I said, well, I got pulled over. And she goes, well, have you been to the grocery store yet? You're supposed to get those things. I said, honey, I've got pulled over. I don't care what you're doing. I've got to have that meal for the ice cream. I'm like, tell you later. Officer, he said, yeah, I got one of those. But he said, I'm going to let you go, but you better get a tag. I said, well, why would somebody steal my tag? He said, because they're stealing a car, and they'll put your tag on it to get from one town, one city to another. And I'm like, that is lawlessness. I mean, I thought it was bad enough to steal my tag. Now they're stealing the car. It's just going on and on and on. But I did pull over. But I'm like, I didn't want to submit to the guy. I didn't want to. I mean, that's a cop. Yeah, I know. You know, I almost felt cold, but it's not cold. I don't know what I'm feeling. I won't submit to anybody. Lawlessness means I won't submit to anybody. I don't care what you say. I don't care what my wife says. Just an example. I don't care what my wife says. I don't care what you say. I don't care what church family says. I can go down the list. I don't care what that policeman says. And doggone it, I'm running my own life. I don't care what God says. We don't dare say that. But my goodness, don't we live it sometimes? Lawlessness is causing me to grow cold. The scary thing about it, I'm probably cold, but I don't know it. I've grown numb. Verse 13. But he who endures to the end will be saved. How can you endure? How can you deal with this world of lawlessness that comes in to our church family and causes us to be negative towards each other? How can you endure? You're cold, you're numb. Any solutions? Well, in John 16, 22, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Let me just read this. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. You got that? I don't care how bad this world gets. He's not taking away my joy. She's not taking away my joy. They not taking away my joy. Whoever, that joy is mine. God gave that to me. Jesus died for me so that I would have that. But the world's prosecuting us. I'm sorry that this world is prosecuting us, canceling us. I'm sorry for the lawlessness. I'm sorry you've been mistreated by another church member. I'm sorry some church member years ago was involved in a scandal and you still have negativity towards the church about it. I'm sorry if that church member betrays you. If you're cold or grown numb, I guess I should apologize because I've offended you. Well, that's right, Dan. Now you're talking. I mean, who gives you the right to tell me how to live my life? Who gives me the right? I don't have that right. You got to live your life. But I'm just trying to say how to get out of this cold, how to get out of this numb feeling. I still don't feel cold. I promise I would have told you I feel cold, but I don't feel anything. So who am I? I'm just a nobody. I'm trying to tell everybody about somebody. It saved my soul. That ought to be a song. I don't think you can grow uncold. I think you got to have God's warmth. I think you got to have God's love in your heart. I think you got to have it from Him. You can try to be nice, friendly, polite, but that negativity is strong. So you need to have God's love. Why is that? There's a lot of testimonies in here to this. God gives you so much love that you got to share it with somebody else. And in the process, I've learned to love God. I've learned to love God through those people that are hard to deal with. I've learned to love God through that lawlessness. I've learned to love God when I get pulled over by a deputy and I'm supposed to tell him what I'm doing wrong, but I'm not going to do it. You can stay where you are, or you can reach out to Jesus. It takes faith. It takes trust. It takes love. It's little bitty words, but it's more than just an idea. The demons know who Jesus is. But you have to know Him as your Savior. You have to know Him as, I want to change my life and follow Him. Then you know what true belief is. I grew up in church, saw a lot of hurt in church. I've seen church push away as many people as they bring in. You may have been one of them. I'm glad you're here today, though. We love on you. Just don't look at all our faults, and we won't look at yours. Just look to God. It's a burden being cold and numb, even though you don't know it. I know something's not right over here. And if I went out and shook your hand, you might be saying, I feel for you, Dan. I'm going to pray for you. I shake your hand right now. I wouldn't even feel your love. How many of y'all have a family member that just don't get it? They hate me. I don't know what it is. They're cold. They're numb. They need Jesus. Maybe in some way without beating them over the head, you need to say, let me tell you about Jesus. Maybe in some way without causing problems, you need to show love of God coming through you. You know you can do it without saying a word? Touching somebody. Reaching out. They may be cold. They may be numb, but they are aware of what's going on. But I've been in church all my life, good and bad. But there's a song from years ago that just hits home to me about dealing with growing cold. Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor danger yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on His name you call. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by my side, in His love we hide all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. Hate is a powerful word. Fear is a powerful word. Negativity is a powerful force. Let me tell you about Jesus. Got them all beat. Live like Jesus is your Savior. Don't just say it. Don't just say, that's a good idea. I think I'm going to do that. Live it. Live it. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you that, man, that you can warm me up. My hand is cold now. I feel it, Lord. It's cold. But so many times in our spiritual journey, we grow cold. And I've admitted that I have been in that situation. And I admit that I constantly look to you for restoration, for your warmth, for your love, God. Somebody here today, they're cold. They know it. Dan can't fix their problem, though. But I know somebody that can. Jesus, we call on you to reach out to those people. Let them reach out to you. Help them to grab a hold of another Christian and say, I need to talk with you about something. Help them to read the Bible, to look to you for guidance. Help them that they will become warm. Help them that they'll become on fire for you, God. And we'll turn right around and say, thank you, Lord. We'll turn right around and say, God, you get all the glory. We'll turn right around and say, God, I sure do love you. Amen. Amen.